Money is a tool. Financial literacy is a skill you can learn. My name is Dave Gallegos. I've spent the last 25 years in the mortgage industry with a front row seat to American financial habits. And what I have to offer is so much more than about mortgages. So join me for a journey into financial literacy, brought to you by me and Zenith Home Loans. I'm your host, Dave Gallegos. Hi, everyone. It's episode 6 of More Than Mortgage. Last episode, I talked about what I've dubbed the 5 fundamentals of financial balance. Number 1 is your credit. Number 2 is your spending. Number 3, your debt. Number 4, your saving. And number 5, which is the high level stuff, is your investing. Today, I'm going to talk about credit. And I'm going to just focus on credit today because what I want to do is share the things that I've learned over the years that you can do to really improve your situation when it comes to credit. And the first thing that I want to cover is that you should have excellent credit, right? So you just want to go through life with excellent credit. You just do, because everything is better, cheaper, easier in your life when you have great credit, right? You never have to worry about getting turned down for a loan unless you just don't qualify for the loan. But in so many cases, getting a loan, and not that I want people to go out and get a bunch of loans because they have great credit, but it's just easier. Everything's easier. You get better rates on your insurance quotes. You get better, you know, if you're trying to rent an apartment, you have bad credit, you may not be able to just rent. They won't even rent to you. So everything's easier, right? And when you're getting a mortgage, the one thing that you don't have control over what the interest rate market's doing, but whatever time it is in the market that you're getting a mortgage, you're going to get a better rate with excellent credit, all right? So excellent, in my mind today, excellent has become anything over 780, which is definitely a possibility to have a credit score that high, because 780 is a tier now, is a credit tier that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have instituted where they're doing different loan level pricing adjustments. 780 is the highest possible score for that now. I think the highest score that you can actually get on a credit score using on any of the three bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, Experian, is an 850. I've actually never seen an 850. What I want to share with you today is just everything that I've learned over the years helping people navigate the process of a credit score and having the best credit that they possibly can. There's so many things that you learn doing that. You're going to get a lot of benefit out of this. So take notes and go back and listen, check out the show notes, because there's some really good material that I'm going to share with you. And again, the first thing is understanding that you should have excellent credit, and anyone can have excellent credit. Maybe if you don't have it today, there's definitely a path to get there. The first step is understanding that you don't want to pay anything late anymore. So I always tell people, everybody is only 12 months away from qualifying for a mortgage. If you've had a whole bunch of late payments in your past history, then you need to have 12 months of on-time payments of everything. That's not a hard and fast rule. Like if you have one late payment 6 months ago, I'm still going to be able to get you a mortgage. But you're only, if you have a bad history of paying things late and you go 12 months paying everything on time, I'm going to be able to get you a mortgage. So it's not going to be a great rate mortgage. You're not going to have a great credit score having a bunch of late payments a little over 12 months ago, but you're, that's how far away. So how do you do that? I'm always surprised when I pull credit and somebody's like, oh yeah, I should have great credit. And always my joke is like, well, yeah, you should have great credit. Do you? When it comes to your payments, when you get a debt that you have to make payments on, a debt like a car loan or a credit card or a student loan or anything else, the simple step to make sure that you never make a late payment, because you don't want to do this manually. Like that's where you get yourself in trouble, right? So the secret is to set everything up on an auto payment for the minimum payment that's due. And I'm not advocating that you only make the minimum payment to due, especially on a credit card. That'll take forever to get paid off. But when you set up everything on auto pay, you're never going to be late. So it's really simple. Like, look, you owe the money and you know that you don't, even if you're not sure you're going to be in a position to make extra payments. The one thing that you can do that you have complete control over, the one thing that you can do is make sure that you're paying on time, right? That never has to be, not paying on time never has to be a thing that happens to you by setting everything up on auto pay. So that's the first tip, and it's a simple one. So go into, however you do this, go into your account or go into your bank and set up for the auto payment to take place and just have it on out. Like, don't you, so you don't even have to think about it. You can always address the debt. And when we get into some of the other fundamental areas of debt, spending is the second one, debt is your third one. When we get into the debt area, we'll talk about the strategies and approaches that you're going to take for managing and paying off your debt. But when it comes to credit, you can't afford to have late payments if you want to have great credit. So this is fundamental. And then anything else that you're paying, like, you just can't have any more late payments on your credit report. So if you're trying to qualify for a mortgage, and I'm thinking that if you're listening to this podcast, that's one of the things that you're doing. If you're trying to qualify for a mortgage, you just can't have late payments. You have a late payment on a mortgage, and I'm trying to get you another mortgage, and it's happened in the last 12 months, that's a big deal, right? When you make a late payment on a mortgage, that's a bigger deal than a late payment on a credit card, because most creditors and lenders have in our modeling for credit, we think that if you have a choice of making a late payment on a credit card or a car loan and your house, and you're going to lose your house if you don't make your payment on your house, most people are going to make the payment on their house before they make the payment on anything else. And so when we see that you're not making a payment on time on your mortgage, that's a huge red flag, right? Like, you're not a good credit risk now, and your credit score is going to reflect that. So there are different degrees of what you can pay late, but you don't want to pay anything late. So that's the first thing. No more late payments, period. That's the rule. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're not able to make all the payments, then it's going to have to, you know, we can talk about the strategies for that. You're going to have to, if that's where you find yourself, you're going to have to negotiate with your creditors to see if they're going to allow you to do that. And otherwise, you're going to have to figure out a way to bridge the gaps. You're going to have to do side jobs. You're going to have to get part-time work. You're going to have to do whatever you have to do. But if you want to maintain a good credit score, you got to pay those payments. You can't pay them late. So what do you do if you have this? So what if you do, what are you supposed to do if you make a late payment, or if you've got a bunch of past late payments? A lot of people think that they should go to work with the credit repair companies. And that is an option. I may even bring a credit repair person in here. What I will tell you, and what most of the reputable companies will tell you, is they can't do anything for you that you can't do for yourself. The difference is they know what to do and maybe you don't. But it isn't hard to figure out what to do, right? So you can Google the answer, or go to YouTube and just Google, what do I do to fix my credit? And don't go to a company's website that's trying to get you to sign up to pay them, because you don't need another debt right now. Like, if you're trying to fix your credit, adding more expense to that equation may not be the wisest thing. And what I will tell you about working with credit repair companies is that no one cares about your credit score as much as you do, even if you're paying them, right? Because it's not their credit score, it's your credit score. So no one's going to care about your credit score as much as you. And if you can accept that, that's actually a really freeing reality to recognize, is that, like, no one is going to care about my credit as much as I do. The idea that you can pay somebody to fix it for you and you don't have to do anything is like, okay, well, that's some more debt that you've taken on, or some more spending that you've taken on, and you're going to have to deal with it. So they really can't do anything for you that you can't do for yourself. What I've always counseled people to do, and this always works. So so let's talk about what happens if you just make a payment late on a credit, on a debt that you have, and you haven't had any previous late payments, and it's the first time, and it just happens, you made a mistake or whatever. Always, 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 always pick up the phone and call them. Look, you may get another human being that isn't very helpful, but you're going to want to keep going. And you want to start by being kind to the person that you're talking to. These are some, you're trying to get a company to not report a late payment if you've made a late payment. They're not always going to do it, but you would be surprised. If you've got a clean history of making payments on time, and now you've had a mistake and you've made a payment late, pick up the phone and call them and talk to somebody to see if they will consider not reporting you late. Now, they don't have to do that. They're contractually and legally, they have every right to report that you made a late payment. But here's what first of all, if you've got a strong enough record, they may just go, you know what? You've got a great history with us. man, this has happened to me. So I'm remembering the call. I had a credit card with Discover, which I've never used. I've literally never made a charge on a Discover card. And I don't even know how I ended up with the card, but I had this Discover card. Maybe it wasn't Discover. Maybe it was Capital One or somebody like that. I think it was like a Capital One card. Anyway, I never used the card. And the statement would come and I wouldn't open the statement. It would come and I wouldn't open the statement. It would come and I would shred it. I get a statement in the mail once and it's got a stamp on the outside that said past due notice. And I was like, past due notice? I open it up. The annual fee had come due and I didn't have it. I didn't pay it because I didn't know it was the annual membership fee or whatever they call it, the annual dues, $40 or something. It wasn't even a thing. It was like $50 or something. It was nothing. But I didn't pay it. And it was late. And so now I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have a late payment on my credit card. I immediately picked up the phone and I called him and I said, hey, yo, it's Dave. Here's what happened. I throw the statement away. It's definitely my fault because you don't want to yell at him, right? Because they don't have to help you, right? So just remember, in life, most of us get what we give, okay? If we give anger and we start yelling and insulting and berating somebody on the other end of the phone, what do you think you're going to get in return? You're not going to get their help, right? So don't do that. Pick up the phone and be sorry. You don't have to really be sorry. They have to think that you're really sorry, right? Like you can know that you just made a dumb mistake, but you can say like, man, I am so sorry. I really screwed up. Here's what happened and explain yourself. They waived it. They never reported it late. I paid it right there on the phone and they just waived it. They didn't like, oh, don't worry, Mr. Gallegos. We're not going to make you pay. We're not going to report you late. It's fine. A lot of people don't think that they can do that, but you're wrong to not pick up the phone and make the call. So what do you do if you have a history of late payments with somebody, but you've now, because you're listening to this podcast or you've decided that it's time to get your credit cleaned up, you've decided to be proactive in your approach. And I would highly recommend this. And so if you've got a couple of late payments that you'd like to talk to them about reporting, there's some more strategy here on your credit with your credit card, especially if we're talking about credit cards. If you've paid everything on time and then you have a couple of late payments in the last few months for whatever reason, and if you're, because I broke my own rule, by the way, on that credit card. I didn't have it set up for to make the minimum payment on auto pay. So that was my fault. That's where I developed that strategy. But let's say you have a couple of payments and the company, they didn't hear from you on the first late payment. Now you're calling and it's after the second or the third late payment that you've had in the last few months. It's going to be a different conversation. They're going to say, well, Mr. Gallegos, the truth is that you don't have the best history with us. And I'll say something like, yes, I know, and I haven't, and I'm sorry, and that's my fault, and I own it. So here's what I want to do is I'm going to make sure that I set this up on to get auto paid no matter what. I'll never be late again. That was dumb. I'm going to do that going forward. Is there anything that you can do to remove the reporting of like the most recent one? So let's say you have three over the last 12 months. The further you get in distance over the seasoning of a credit event, the better your credit score will get. So if you have a late payment on a credit card 90 days ago, that's going to hit your credit score harder than a late payment on your credit card 9 months ago, right? So just seasoning, right? So the amount of time that's passed since the last credit event is what we call you need it to season, right? The longer it's been, the better your score is going to get. And if you can get them to remove a late payment that was 6 months ago, or, you know, that was that, but you know, the other two, they're going to leave on there from 9 months ago and 12 months ago, your score will get better. Your score will improve. Now they might not do it right away and they shouldn't because you haven't given them any reason to, but what you could do is you could say, how about this? If I make the next six payments on time, would you consider removing that? And they'll typically somebody like, well, I don't know if I can do that. Let me talk to my supervisor. Like, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Kindness goes a lot further here. Yelling at people, you know, the person that you're talking to has nothing to do with the rules, right? Like they don't make the rules. They have nothing. It wasn't their policy that you're talking about. You're talking to another human being. So try to know that you're on the phone with another human being and you're trying to get them to help you get something that you want. So just remember, you get what you give. And so that's my next piece of advice, is just calling all the past lates and asking them if they'll help you. And they typically will. Let's talk about your credit card balances for a second. So Here's something else that most people don't know. You can negotiate a better rate than the one you currently are paying with a lot of your credit cards, depending on your profile, right? So if you're a good customer and you've paid well, and if you're carrying a balance, what you're going to want to do is you can call them up and just go, look, is this rate, I'm noticing on my statement that I'm paying, you know, the average rates are in the teens now. I notice I'm paying this really high interest rate, whatever you're paying. Is it possible to get a better rate than that? And shut up, just because the next person that talks is going to lose. And you'd be surprised at how often you're going to get a credit card company to lower your rate. And again, be kind, be present, be pleasant, be courteous. The person on the other end of the call is the one in charge of what rate you're getting. But they do have a lot of authority. And if they don't, just say, is there someone else I can talk to about this? Because this seems like a really high rate based on what I'm seeing out there. There's a lot of places that I could transfer this balance to. And I really don't want to, but you know, is there anything that we can do? And if you can shave 3 to 4% off of that rate, and they don't know if you've got another opportunity to go somewhere, you'd be surprised at what you can get accomplished by simply asking, right? So don't hesitate to pick up the phone and make those phone calls. Let's talk about what we can do with collections, judgments, and liens. These are the areas of credit that are really difficult to navigate and a little more challenging than just a late payment. You know, that collection can just sit on there forever, because the way collections work, if you don't know, is that you had a debt with somebody and you didn't pay it. Now, if it's a medical collection, this is different. Medical collections are being handled differently, and we'll do a whole podcast on the subject of medical collections. In my opinion, they shouldn't even be reported, because you did not elect to go buy something and then not pay for it. Like, you got sick or there was an accident and you had medical bills and you weren't able to pay them, and those are the ones that get turned into collection. That's not, to me, that's not a credit event. It's just my opinion. I'm not in charge of how it's being reported. But when it comes to a collection for any other consumer debt or a judgment or a lien, if someone's gotten a judgment against you or you have a lien on your credit report, you're gonna have to deal with it. Right? And so no different than any of these other debts that you have, you need to deal with those debts. Because if you don't deal with them, they're just going to hang out there. Collections, a little different. You can really negotiate a lot with collections and how much you're going to pay and what's going to happen. But you have to be very careful, because what you don't want to do is pay a collection and then have the collection get updated on your credit report that it's just been paid. Because then it becomes like a new reported credit event and it's going to hit your credit again. What you want to negotiate, you don't want to just pay a collection and move on. You want to talk to the collection agency and negotiate with them about what's going to happen when you pay off the collection. Because what you want to do is negotiate that they remove that collection from your credit report reporting altogether. That you won't, and you need to get it. This is really important. You need to get it in writing from them that they're going to remove the collection that they're reporting from your credit report. A lot of people think that you can't do this. You absolutely can. It's all a question of just asking and taking the time to figure out what people will do. You got to be nice. You got to be professional. You got to remember that the collection agency, these aren't bad people. They're just doing a job. The way collections work is a creditor is tired of trying to get you to pay them and they sell it. They sell the debt. The collection agency buys the debt at a discount. So if you owe $1,000, the collection agency didn't pay $1,000, right? The collection agency might have paid, I don't know what they pay. I have no idea how that works. They might have paid $500 for this debt. And they make the way the collection agency makes money is they collect the difference from what they paid for the debt that they bought, the bad debt, and what they collect from you. So there's some negotiating power there as well. But really what you want is, yeah, you want to save as much money as possible when you're paying off that collection. But what you really want is for them to stop reporting the collection altogether. Not reporting that it was paid off. You want it reported that the collection was removed. So there's a balance there, right? Let's say it's $1,000 they're trying to collect from you and they're adding interest to it every month, because they have a right to do that too. Go to them and say, look, I know I owe it, I wanna pay it, and I wanna deal with it, but what's really important to me is getting it removed from my credit. So what I wanna negotiate with you on is getting it paid off, and in the process, you removing the reporting of the collection from my credit altogether and not reporting me with the collection after I pay you. How can we negotiate that? And you're going to have to be forceful because collection agency people typically aren't the friendliest people on the planet, my experience. And I'm telling you all of this because I've experienced bad credit, right? So I've dealt with this in my own, and it's never fun. So that's why I'm sharing at this level is I know from personal experience, it's humiliating. I know how humiliating it is. I know how embarrassing it is. I know how you don't want to talk about having bad credit, but I've been there. And many, many people have been there. You definitely want to work towards a life with excellent credit. And these are the steps and the strategies that you can go to for this. And so if the collection agency agrees to this, agrees to something, and anything that you're doing with creditors, you want to make sure you get it in writing what's been agreed to before you pay them. If you pay them, you've lost all leverage in getting it done and getting something in writing from them and getting them to do what they said they were going to do. So you want to make sure that you get an agreement in writing that says if you pay X by such and such a date, the collection agency agrees to remove this credit, this collection from their credit altogether and stop reporting it as a collection. Stop reporting it, not reporting it paid. Two different things. So remember that you get that. Let's talk about bankruptcy because this is the next Armageddon event that can happen on your credit. And it's definitely something that you have to really be careful of. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the abuses that I've seen when it comes to bankruptcies. So all things being equal, if you're going to declare bankruptcy, it impacts your credit the same, regardless of the type of bankruptcy you declare. So if you do a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13, I think most people know the difference. Chapter 7 is all the debt gets wiped out, except any debts that you reaffirm, like a mortgage. If you do a Chapter 13, no debt gets wiped out. You just set up payment plans with all your creditors and the credit hounding stops, right? They stop hounding you because the Chapter 13 trustee, the bankruptcy trustee sets up these payment plans with all your creditors and they have to accept them based on your income level. And I'm going to show you my philosophy on this because what happens is you end up going to a lot of attorneys that are less than, they don't have your best interest at heart. Let's say that. Chapter 7 is like a one-time event. They get paid one time. Chapter 13s, they get paid over the length of your Chapter 13 because they're taking money out of every one of the payments that you make. So if you're going to declare bankruptcy, you might as well blow up the bridge, right? Because if that's the event that's going to be on your credit report, you might as well move on. And now you wouldn't want to declare a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. I'm not advocating for people doing this. You wouldn't want to do a Chapter 7 bankruptcy on a small amount of debt. Like if you're actually going to do that, it's all relative. A small amount of debt is always relative to what your personal income is and what the amount of debts are. But I've seen people go to Chapter 13 bankruptcy for a few thousand dollars. There's just no reason to do this. You've created a very negative credit event on your credit report for a few thousand dollars, and that's just ridiculous. And what's sad is the attorney that helps you set up a Chapter 13 for a few thousand dollars, that's malpractice, man. You don't need to do that. So I'm telling you that is ridiculous. I don't care what your income situation is. If you're in that bad a shape, you shouldn't be doing a Chapter 13 anyway. And yeah, you don't want to do a Chapter 7 on a few thousand dollars either. But if you're going to declare bankruptcy, what's the point of paying the money back? I know that it's sad and it's not the most honorable thing in the world that you paid off this. But so I'm speaking from experience again. When I was in my 20s, I had started a business with a buddy who wasn't a buddy anymore. And we had accumulated about $60,000 in a business debt, along with all the other debt that I had personally accumulated at a time when I wasn't making a lot of money and I had just gotten married and we had just had our daughter. And I don't know if my kids even know this, but I'm going to know now. I declared bankruptcy in my 20s. I had a Chapter 7 bankruptcy on almost $100,000. So it wasn't like, and I wasn't making any money at the time. And Chapter 7 was definitely the right option for us at the time. Definitely humiliating, definitely embarrassing. I had horrible credit, but I bought a house 2 years later. We were able to buy our first house 2 years later because 2 years after Chapter 7, you are eligible to get an FHA mortgage in this country. And I had great credit after that. I'm not proud of the fact that I did a Chapter 7, but for us at the time, it was the right thing to do. And a Chapter 13 was would have made zero sense for me. So there you go. That's bearing my soul and understanding that it was a horrible. So I, speaking from experience, I have a lot of that I can share with you when it comes to credit and how to manage it, because my goal is for the listener to have financial balance. And then my second goal is to have as many people become homeowners as possible, because I know how much better your life is when you become a homeowner. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. I'm excited to continue to share. Please share this with people who you think might be able to benefit from the message. And I'm looking forward to the next episode. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to More Than Mortgage with Dave Gallegos, brought to you by Zenith Home Loans. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe anywhere you find podcasts and share this episode with a colleague who would also find value.